From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues this series of studies in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, Dr. Cairns brings the final portion of a message called Jesus, the Supreme Object of Faith, based on the opening verses of chapter 12. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. The text for today is found in Judges chapter 13 and verse 23, the words of Samson's mother. If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands, neither would he have showed us all these things. This is a sort of promise deduced by logic. It is an inference fairly drawn from ascertained facts. It was not likely that the Lord had revealed to Manoah and his wife that a son would be born to them, and yet had it in his heart to destroy them. The wife reasoned well, and we shall do well if we follow her line of argument. The Father has accepted the great sacrifice of Calvary, and has declared himself well pleased therewith. How can he now be pleased to kill us? Why a substitute if the sinner must still perish? The accepted sacrifice of Jesus puts an end to fear. The Lord has shown us our election, our adoption, our union to Christ, our marriage to the well-beloved. How can he now destroy us? The promises are loaded with blessings, which necessitate our being preserved unto eternal life. It is not possible for the Lord to cast us away and yet fulfill his covenant. The past assures us, and the future reassures us. We shall not die, but live, for we have seen Jesus, and in him we have seen the Father by the illumination of the Holy Ghost. Because of this life-giving sight, we must live forever.
Here is love vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood. When the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood. Who his love will not remember, who can cease to sing his praise? On the Mount of Crucifixion,
In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seek it seriously. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. the course of these studies in the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews, Dr. Cairns has moved into the opening verses of chapter 12 as he's preaching a message called Jesus, the Supreme Object of Faith. The spirit of chapter 11 carries into the 12th chapter. Verses 1 and 2 teach us that believers are called to run with patience the race that is set before us. We are to run looking unto Jesus. The apostle lists five things about Christ that believers are to look at. The first of these is who he is, the incarnate Son of God, Jehovah, the Savior of sinners. Then we're to consider what Christ is and what he did. He is called the author and finisher of our faith. He committed himself to accomplishing the Father's will, dying on the cross to atone for the sins of his people. Like the Savior, the race for God's people involves the way of the cross. Also, we're to look at how and why Christ did what he did. As Dr. Cairns will explain, it was by faith. Finally, we're to look at where he is, set down at the right hand of God. There's the ultimate goal of our race of faith, to be with Christ, which is far better. Now to conclude this message, Jesus, the supreme object of faith, here is Dr. Cairns.
You only live the present in the light of the past, especially in the light of Calvary. You only live the present in the light of the future, in the light of God's eternity. That's how to live the present. Now, if you live that way, faith following Christ will lay aside the immediate gratification, the immediate thrill, the immediate feeling, the immediate gain for the eternal. Faith will even lay aside the things that in themselves are unobjectionable for the greater glory of God in saving souls. Remember what I said a little earlier. If you have 7 pounds of gold in a bag, it will slow you up just as much as 7 pounds of lead. There was no sin in C.T. Studd being left $1 million way back in the last century when $1 million really meant something. There was no sin in him being left an inheritance of $1 million. But faith in C.T. Studd gave it all away down to the last penny in order that he should pursue the glory of God in the evangelization of a lost world. Did C.T. Studd follow Christ? Did he make the right decision? When we stand before God and there are thousands from China, even millions, and there are thousands, even millions from India, and millions from Africa, the three great scenes of Studd's personal labors, and they stand before God, saved through the ministry of that man and the men whom he led to the mission field through his example. Tell me, will there be any doubt that he did the right thing? Faith even sets aside what's good in itself for what is eternally better. But the word for the joy that was set before him, can mean, and many people think must mean here, on account of. It's not the usual word for that, but the idea is that through life and death he kept the final glory in view. Now that's how you live by faith. Faith endures the afflictions. Faith runs through the pain, looking to the reward and the rewarder. Do you notice what it says? It's the same word actually in the original scriptures, just as it's the same word in English. Verse 1, the race is set before us. Verse 2, the joy was set before Christ and also before those who follow him. The promise of glory is true. Faith endures in the light of this truth. And it says with Paul the Apostle, in those outstanding words of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day, for our light affliction. Now the next time you're tempted to gripe, think of those words of Paul. Our light affliction. What is this light affliction? Go back to verse 8. Troubled on every side, perplexed, persecuted, cast down, always bearing about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Over in chapter 11, he gives you a little more of this light affliction. Verse 23, in labors, in stripes, in prisons, in deaths oft, 40 stripes see of one, 5 times, beaten with rods, 3 times, stoned, 3 times, shipwrecked, a night and the day in the deep, in journeyings, in perils of waters, of robbers, of countrymen, of heathen, in the city, in the wilderness, in the sea, by false brethren, in weariness, in watchings, in hunger, in thirst, in fastings, in cold, in nakedness. Quite a list. Now, what do you or I know about that? Come on now, what do we know about it? And yet, looking at all that, he says, our light affliction, and then you and I have the audacity to fly in the face of God because some little thing doesn't go the way our selfish minds want it to go. We have the audacity to fly in the face of God and we say, Lord, why are you doing this to me? I can't go any further. I have to confess, many a time myself I have been in my ministry before God and had to cry, Lord, if you don't step in, I can't go any further. And then I have to be ashamed. I haven't gone 1/1,000,000th of the way the Apostle Paul went. And he said it was just a light affliction. Why did he say that? It's not poetry. It's not poetic license. It's not fiction. It's fact. Why? Our light affliction is but for a moment. And it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen. That's why it was light. He didn't have his eyes on the things that were seen, but on the things that are not seen. The world doesn't understand anything of that, of course. Looking at the things that are not seen, they tell you you're ready for the lunatic asylum. But I tell you, if you're looking at the things that are seen, you're living in defeat. If you're looking at the things that are not seen, you're living in victory. Looking at the things that are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, the things which are not seen, they are eternal. Look then unto how and why Christ did what he did. The last thing, very quickly, is look at where he is. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down, or literally sat down, at the right hand of the throne of God. Where is Jesus now? When you're running the race, look to the person, but look to where he is. He's in glory. He has conquered sin and Satan, death and hell. And he did so for us. He did so as our leader. Hebrews 6, verse 20, says he has entered in within the veil as our forerunner. He guarantees our arrival. Therefore, look unto Jesus. Don't let anything hinder you running the race. Get rid of every weight. Get your eyes on him. Don't get your eyes off the Lord. That's when your troubles commence. And as you get your eyes on the Lord, he'll give you strength and victory. Look as you run. Look constantly. Look confidently. Did he feel Abel? Did he feel Enoch? Did he feel Noah? Write down that list that Paul said would be really too big to be enumerated if he had given them all. Did he feel any of them? No, he didn't. And he'll not feel you. The promise is, I will not fail you nor forsake you. What a word. Therefore, when the wind is in your face, when the pain of going on is intense, when the price of going on is great, when the hiss of the serpent is in your ear, and the Trojan horse, as it were, within you would throw open the gates of your heart to the enemy, run with perseverance, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher, the rewarder of his faithful people. May God make us faithful through life unto death, and help us to run with Christ in view and with eternity's values stamped upon our souls. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. In just a moment, the meeting will be over. It will be, as Dr. Barrett announced, just a few minutes between this service and the communion service to follow. If you're not saved this morning, I'd invite you not to leave without Christ. You can be saved and will be saved as soon as you call on the name of the Lord and ask him to save you. Can it be as simple as that? Thank God, the way of holiness is so plain that the wayfaring man, though a fool, shall not err therein. Come to the Savior. I'm here as your servant for Christ's sake. I invite you to remain as the others leave. Let me open the book of God with you. Point you to Christ. Or if you'd like some gospel literature, I'll be glad to give you that. Don't leave without the Savior. If you're in this meeting today and you're a Christian, you've been running with faltering steps, look unto Jesus. Look to him for forgiveness, for restoration, for grace, for help, for strength. Look to him to bring you through. If I can help you, I invite you to have a word with me, and I'll be glad to talk with you. Father in heaven, bless thy word. O God, show us more of Christ. Help us to look unto Jesus, to who he is. Thank God he is God manifested in the flesh. Jehovah, our Savior. O Lord, help us to look to who he is. Help us to look, O Lord, to what he is, the author and finisher of our faith. Help us to look, O God, to what he did, enduring the cross and despising the shame to save our souls. Help us, Lord, to see how and why he did it, and then to fix our gaze upon where he is and rejoice in his word that where I am, there ye may be also. Lord, help us today to run with patience the race that is set before us. Remember those who have never even started on this race. Remember those who are running a different course to a different destination, to a different eternal result. O God, our Father, have mercy on the lost and save them today. We pray that thou wilt get men off the road that leads to a lost eternity and on the road that goes inevitably to glory. Lord, do this work, we pray. And, O God, in all things to thee, we shall give the praise and the honor and the glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.